Well, I am so excited to get into the message today. Like I said, the message is simple, but I believe it's going to be impactful. We've been going through the book of Acts over the last, this will be part 14 of this series called Supernatural, walking through the entire book of Acts together. And I just, you know, I think it's difficult because sharing our faith sometimes with people around us, it can be kind of awkward, right? It can be kind of difficult. Even me, as the most extroverted person you will probably ever meet, all right, who is a pastor for a living, do this on a regular basis. There's even times where I struggle to talk to somebody about Jesus or to share my faith, second guessing myself, thinking, am I saying the right thing? Or is this the right time? Or what should I say? Listen, this is just a human experience. This is a Christian experience across the board. And so I think it would be so helpful if there was maybe a formula that we could follow, right? A story that we could look to help us to learn how to share our faith. Luckily, you're in the right place today, because that's exactly what we get in the next passage in Acts chapter 8, as we're moving through Acts chapter 8 together. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I really think it'll encourage you today to be bold in sharing your faith with those around you and give you a little bit of a framework for how to do that. So the title of the message is simple. It is Sharing Your Faith 101. And I would just like to pray and ask that the Lord would reveal something to us today through this message. So if you would bow your heads, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that you've given us this message of the good news, the gospel, that you died for us, that you took our sin upon your shoulders and you went to the grave, but yet you didn't stay there. 3 days later, you rose again, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father and you're praying for us. You're interceding on our behalf. And today, Lord, I just believe that your Holy Spirit wants to empower somebody in this place to pray again, to pray harder, to go after somebody for Jesus, to be bold in our pursuit of sharing the good news of Jesus everywhere that we go. So God, would you open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and our minds to receive the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. So, hey, if we can, we have a few people still coming in. If you got somebody that's close to you, you got a few seats in between, if you wouldn't mind scooting in, there's still some people coming in the doors. Thank you so much. Just be a part of the Rad Fam today. Come on now, make a new friend. That's what this whole message is about. So it works perfectly today. So I'm going to read to you in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. Basically, what this means is, you know, Egypt had a pharaoh. It's kind of the same sort of term. It's a term for that person that was in charge. So it's the equivalent for Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, if I was to look to this passage and in the beginning of this story that we're going to look at today, the first thing that stands out to me, and I would hope it and encourage you today, is that God still speaks. Amen? How many of you believe that God still speaks today? He's not silent. He's not dead, but he is alive. He speaks to his people. He wants an individual relationship with you, and he wants, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lead you and guide you in the same way that he did Philip. There's so many times in the book of Acts where it says that the Holy Spirit said, or the Holy Spirit told them to something. And a lot of times what the Spirit is saying is what the Spirit says to Philip here. And that is to go. Go somewhere, say this, do this thing. Man, I believe that God still speaks. And there's many, many times where I've heard the voice of God, and many of you maybe have heard the voice of God in different ways. But let me ask this question. Are we listening for the voice of God, right? The first thing that I noticed is that Philip was sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God speaks to him in multiple ways. We'll see that in just a second. But what a beautiful thing it is to be able to hear the voice of God. Amen? To be able to connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in such an individual and powerful way. And I've been blessed over the years, just to be frank with you, to be able to hear the voice of God in multiple different ways. This church is here today because of somebody that heard the voice of God and spoke the word radical to me, but the word was already in my spirit, and so I was able to literally hear God through this person speaking to me. It was incredible. I've heard God in so many different ways over the years, a couple times where it sounded honestly audible, but most of the time, what is it, guys? You know, you've heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, right? Most of the time, it is just a feeling. Most of the time, it's where you say something in your head, and then you're like, wait a second, that doesn't sound like me, right? And you can kind of learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. And guys, one thing that I know for a fact, and one thing that I would want for our church and for every single believer, guys, we have to be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You have to be able to hear God, to know when it's you, to know when it's Satan, when it's his demons, like they're trying to get you to go back to doing them old things, or when it's the voice of God that's trying to get you to go in the way that you should go. We have to be able to hear the voice of God. I find it interesting too, that not only does the Holy Spirit speak, but an angel actually speaks to him. The first one, it's the angel tells him to go down to the certain road. And then when he goes, then it's the Holy Spirit that then speaks to him and says to go stand by the chariot. What does that tell me? It means that God speaks to us in different ways. It's not gonna sound the same. It's not gonna look the same. For you, it might be different than it is for me. But God will speak to you in many different ways. You might have heard it like this before, that God speaks in mysterious ways, right? Like he moves in different things. And sometimes it's just as simple as for me, this woman coming up to me and saying this word radical, and I just knew that that was a word of the Lord for me. And somebody else might have heard that word. It might not mean anything to them. It might mean more about politics than it does church. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. But hey, listen, God will speak to you in a way that's individualized for you if you're listening. And so I encourage you to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. God sends Philip to speak to this man, and it is undeniable that God wanted to save this Ethiopian eunuch specifically, right? Obviously, he tells Philip to go down to this road. This road that he asked him to go down, by the way, is a very odd place to be for him. He had been kind of on like the north side of Jerusalem for a long time. He had been in a different area that was well more populated, a lot more people. And then he asked him to go down to the south, down to this desert road. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but yet he asked him to go there. And then the Spirit of God asked him to go stand next to this chariot. So it's very obvious that he wants to save this guy specifically. Why is that? Well, it says in the word that he was important. He was a government official in Ethiopia. And I just believe that God wanted to send the good news of Jesus to Africa. Amen? Come on now. He wanted to influence this man and to send the word of the Lord to Africa. And we'll talk about that at the end of the message, what happens in Africa and in Ethiopia specifically. Verse 30, let's move on. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip starts the conversation with a simple question. And if I can say this, I think sometimes we make evangelism and sharing our faith way more complicated than it has to be. You know what I'm talking about? We think we have to have like some kind of, you know, we gotta be on a street corner with a microphone, you know what I mean? To be able to be a real evangelist or to share our faith or whatever. And this is what we kind of see people doing, and we're like, man, those are the people telling people, those are like the evangelists, like the street preachers. Man, God is not calling every single one of us to be a street preacher, okay? You know, that's not what he's doing. You don't have to have a microphone in a street corner. You don't even have to have a specific word from the Lord. All you need is a love for Jesus and a love for people, seeing them the way that God sees them, and a heart for people to be healed, saved, delivered, and set free by the power of Jesus. That's all you have to have. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you that leads you and guides you. You have to be listening for the voice of God. You don't have to have a specific word. You don't have to have a platform. You just have to be obedient to listen to God and do what he says. Amen? And so an angel of the Lord tells him where to walk. The Spirit of God then tells him where to stand. But notice, ain't nobody tell him what to say when he got there. And I think that's where we really get hung up, because personally, I would rather you tell me what to say than where to go, right? A lot of times we get frustrated because we're like, okay, God, I'm here, now what? And he's like, go for it. You know what I mean? Like,
For real? Like, you're going to bring me all the way down to South on this road. Ain't nobody here. There's this one chariot. I'm supposed to go stand by it. And now what do I do now? And the Lord's like, good luck. You know, like, that's what it feels like anyway. And so then Philip, full of the Holy Spirit, with all of the authority of Jesus Christ that he's been given, he gets to this point and he boldly walks up to this man and he says, hey, what you reading? That's what he says, basically. He's just listening to what he's reading and he just asks him, hey, do you understand what you're reading right now? It's not that hard. So let's just put it in our context, okay? It's quite simple. It's like you're grabbing your latte at the coffee shop. This morning, I went to Summer Moon, got a latte, praise God. You look over and you see somebody reading a book. Maybe you really enjoy that book and you're trying to make sure that it's the book that you think it is, right? And so you're like, hey, what are you reading there? And they're like, oh, it's this book. Like, oh my gosh, I love that book. That's an awesome one. I've read that one before. And then you just kind of strike up a conversation. Maybe there's a guy with a Dallas Cowboys jersey on, or today, a Dallas Cowboys poncho. Come on now, my man. Come on. Richard, stand up. Dude, show the people. Let's go. Let's go. Cinco de Mayo Sunday. He's making it happen, my man. Let's go. And you say, hey, you think we're going to win tonight? And they say no, and you're like, I don't either. You know what I mean? So that's me. Evangelism starts just with the willingness to meet somebody new. It starts with the willingness to just have a conversation and just be normal and just hang out with somebody. Just listen to what they're saying and just be open and available for God to move in that moment. It's what's called a divine appointment. You ever heard this before? It's a divine encounter, a divine appointment. And what God does is he will lead you to certain people. Sometimes he'll give you a very specific word. Not always, but sometimes. And there's many times where you've gotten to that point, I think you might know what I'm talking about, where you see somebody and you feel like that I'm supposed to go talk to this person. I don't really know why. I don't know what I'm supposed to say or anything like that. But a lot of times what we do is we just push that down and ignore it because we don't know what we're going to say even when we get there. Let me tell you, Philip didn't know what he was going to say when he got there, but he just obeyed because the Spirit of God said, go stand by him. Sometimes I think we just need some people that are willing to run up to a chariot. Some people that are willing to just go and do exactly what God says. And when you get there, just like Jesus told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say when you get there. The Spirit of God will give you the words when you get there. Amen? It's obedience that gets us to that place. And when we obey, then God will give us the words to say. Come on, somebody say amen. And I understand this is not necessarily an American concept, okay? I get it. We're in the South, right? And so we're a little bit more hospitable around here. Maybe not Austin, but generally, okay? Generally, but if you were to go up to somebody random, like a stranger in New York City, for example, and just start talking to them, they'd be like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? Like, why are you speaking to me right now? In the South, we're a little bit more chill with that kind of stuff. Just meeting somebody new. But I get it. Like, when we go to the coffee shop, what do? Coffee shops used to be this place where you could go and hang out, meet people. It was this community, right? And you went there with the intent of maybe talking to somebody or meeting somebody new. Now when you go to the coffee shop, what do you see? Everybody got AirPods in, right? They're like, don't talk to me. I'm grumpy. That's why I'm here. I'm drinking coffee because I'm very tired and I don't want to speak, you know? And that's what we have a whole lot now. I get it. And there was a show I was watching with my son, okay? It's called Umizoomi, okay? It's a kid's show. Give me a break, all right? And it has... Some of the parents in the room are like, yeah, it's a dumb show. Anyway, so... There's this little robot, and his name is Bot, very creative. And he is, I was right in the middle of writing this message, literally writing the message, and it was on the screen, and Bot says something interesting. There was a guy with some headphones on, and Bot says to his friends, he says, it's no use, guys. He can't hear us because he has his headphones on. They were trying to speak to him. They were trying to talk to him, but he said, guys, there's no point. He's got headphones on. He cannot hear us. So we might as well just not talk to him. So not only do we need to listen to the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to us, are we so worried about ourselves and are we so worried about our agenda and the things that we have to get done? And are we so in our own world that we're not even listening to the Holy Spirit? But also think about the idea that we have to listen to the world around us. We have to be able to listen to the needs of the people that are around us. so that we can respond in the way that Jesus would have us to respond. You will not have a divine encounter with AirPods in. I can tell you right now. Why is that? Because you're literally saying, I don't want to speak to anybody right now. Maybe God can use it somehow. Somebody that likes AirPods. I don't know. They might come up to you and be like, hey, and you're like, you know, I don't know. But listen, if Philip was wearing AirPods, I don't have anything against AirPods, okay? Like, just give me a second. If Philip was wearing AirPods, he wouldn't have heard the man reading the scroll of Isaiah, right? He wouldn't have heard what the dude was reading. He wouldn't have been able to respond and strike up a conversation with this guy, right? And he would have missed the opportunity. So the question really is just, are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit for you? But also, are you listening to the world around you? Are you connecting with the people that are around you? Or are we in our own world? And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're hearing the people around us. We're seeing the people around us the way that Jesus sees them. We're listening to them the way that Jesus would listen to them. Then I feel like we can have some divine encounters, divine appointments, and make a difference in people's lives. Does that make sense? Somebody say amen if it does. Come on now. We do curbside pickup, so I don't have to talk to anybody, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point. Like, we work from home so that we don't have to deal with people at the office. I get it's we live in this culture where it's just more and more weird to talk to somebody that you don't know. But really, Jesus talks to randos all the time, okay? He talks to random people constantly. And I think the best example of that is the woman at the well. Best example that you can find. He would go up to people. They would come up to him sometimes. But check this out right here. He says this. He goes up to this woman at the well. It's just him and her there. And he goes up to her and he starts the conversation like this. He just says, will you give me a drink? Profound, Jesus, really, honestly. Great evangelism strategy. will you give me a drink? That's all he says. It's just like any other normal conversation that you would have with somebody. I mean, you definitely do not want to walk up to somebody and be like, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Like the first, no, don't do that. Now you're just weird. You know what I mean? Don't do that. It's weird. Just walk up, just hang out, just have a conversation with somebody. And a lot of times we make it so difficult, but it's evangelism starts with the willingness to meet somebody new. That's it. Where do we get this willingness from, though? Where do we get the ability and the willingness to be bold and to go share your faith with somebody that maybe you've literally never met before? Because it can be kind of awkward, I get that. But how do we get that boldness? It is from the Holy Spirit of God. You know what Jesus said, right? And at the very beginning of the series, we talked about it's in Acts 1, okay? He says, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We've talked about it before, guys. What is the purpose of power? It is to point people to Jesus. It is so that we can be a witness for Jesus Christ. You don't need the power if you don't want to be a witness, right? And so I want to be a witness for Jesus so that I need the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? We see the disciples, they were a bunch of scaredy cats before they got the Holy Spirit. They were. When Jesus was going to the cross, what did they all do? Scattered. Peter denies him 3 times. They all run away. After they receive the Holy Spirit, what do we see? They're bold as lions. They tell everybody about Jesus. They get thrown in prison. They get beat. They say, don't you talk about Jesus anymore. And they say, I'm sorry, we have to obey God, not man. We're going to keep telling everybody about Jesus. Sorry, can't help it. You see the difference. The Holy Spirit will give you the willingness and the boldness to speak to people about Jesus in a powerful way. And then he'll even give you the words to say when you get there. Come on now. It is amazing. Some people won't even get that far, though. I get it. They won't even start the conversation. But let's say you do, and you're like me, and you will just talk to literally anybody, okay? I have no problem talking to strangers, even to my own detriment sometimes, you know? My wife is like, can you please stop talking to people all the time? Like, it's just constantly, you know? I just talk to people. That's just who I am. I just say it's the joy of the Lord, you know what I mean? Like, let's just have some more joy of the Lord together, you know? It'd be great. So let's say you have no problem talking to strangers, and you go up, you bring up, okay, let's go back to that other story. You bring up the book that you both like. You're at the coffee shop, okay? And you talk for a minute, and then you feel like, man, I really feel like I'm supposed to share my faith or like say something about Jesus, or I'm really supposed to invite them to church, or I really feel like I'm supposed to pray for them or something like that. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I'm supposed to do something, but you stop short. This is what most of us do. You don't want to be annoying, right? Like, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be that person that's like pushing my faith on somebody else. I don't want to mess up this good thing we got going on. We've had a nice little conversation, nice little interaction so far. I've been hilarious. It's been great. We're both vibing here, having a good time. Why would I mess that up with all this Jesus talk? You know what I mean? That's really what we say in our internal dialogue. It's like, this is really going to make this awkward if I bring this up. And we stop short of what God really had us there for in the first place. You didn't go there to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. You didn't go there to talk about the book. The Holy Spirit was leading you in a divine encounter to share Jesus with them in that moment, or at least to pray for them, right? Or anything. And we second guess ourselves. So I want to move on. It says, verse 32, this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? So then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So let's get this story straight. I think it's so important to have context. And I love just kind of making the Bible plain and simple. And I just want you to understand, like, who is this guy? Where is he coming from? All this stuff. So this is an Ethiopian man coming on his way back from Jerusalem, back to Ethiopia, where he was worshiping the God of Israel in Jerusalem. Now, if you understand, this is kind of an odd situation, right? At this point, the gospel had not been spread to all the ends of the world. There was 10,000, 15,000, we don't know how many believers at this point, but it had not been spread all across the world. And really, the only people that worshiped the God of Israel were the Jews in Israel, okay? So, what do we know? How did he even hear about the God of Israel? How did he know about Yahweh, this God? We don't really know. He obviously had, or else he wouldn't have been in Jerusalem. He was a Gentile. And so getting to Jerusalem from Ethiopia is no joke either, okay? It is a 600-mile, at minimum, a 600-mile trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now, this dude did not have a Tesla, okay? So it's not an easy trip. It took at least 2 weeks for him to get there, and it would take him probably 2 weeks to get all the way back. Another thing that makes the story even weirder is that he was a foreigner. So he wouldn't be allowed to do all the same things that the local Jews would be able to do at the temple. Not only that, but he was a eunuch, which means he was castrated. Don't want to get into that, okay? But the thing is here is it was a part of his job working in the government. It was just something that they did in order for you to work in the government, something you had to do. And so he was castrated, and there were certain laws in the Jewish law that said that he couldn't enter in certain places and do certain things. So he has multiple things going against him. He's a foreigner, Gentile, he's not a Jew, and he's castrated and all these things, and yet he goes to Jerusalem to worship this God. Now you think, at the time that he's there, what's the hot news on the press right now? Stephen, we just talked about it a few weeks ago, had just been killed for his faith. All the Jews were probably arguing about it. They were probably talking about it. And then just a few months before that, who was killed? Jesus. It has not been very long since Jesus had died, was in the tomb, and was resurrected. And the news about Jesus was spreading like wildfire, right? So the people were probably talking about Stephen, who had just been killed, about this Jesus, this Messiah that they were arguing. Is he the Messiah? Is he not the Messiah? Did he raise from the dead? Did he not raise from the dead? And they're arguing about this. There's probably people in the temple talking about it and around the temple. We don't know what he heard. We don't know what he didn't hear. But he goes to worship in Jerusalem. And at some point, he gets a scroll of Isaiah. Maybe somebody gave it to him. Maybe he already had it. We don't know. But on the way home, now he's been hearing all these things. And he's worshiping this God of Israel, and he's confused. I don't really know what to believe. And so he's opening this scroll, and he's trying to understand this passage, and he's asking Philip, now, is Isaiah talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? Now, what's interesting is that Philip doesn't know any of this backstory when he goes to talk to him. Philip has no idea who this guy is. He has no idea where he comes from. He has no idea that he's been to Jerusalem and he's been worshiping and he has this scroll and he's kind of confused and he's not really sure what's going on. And he has no idea that God has already been working on his heart before he even got there. There's a leadership principle here that God demonstrates all the time, is that good leaders go first. Good leaders go first. Really, in life and in business and just in general, it's a good principle to live by. That I'm not going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself, right? And so in Deuteronomy, Moses tells Joshua to be courageous. Why? And just lean in for a second. You'll see what I'm saying here. He tells him to be courageous because the Lord goes before you and will be with you. He's saying God has already gone before you. God says, be holy because what? Because I am holy. Because I've been holy first, I'm asking you to be holy now. We love because he what? First loved us. Jesus, God loved first, and that's why we are to love. The Lord goes before us in battle. He guides our every step because he orders every step. Jesus tells us to go and to tell the good news about him because he has already done it first. He brought the kingdom of God and spoke about the kingdom of God. And then he asks us to do the same thing. The Spirit is saying, go talk to that person because the Spirit of God has already gone before you. You have to trust that God has been working on this person's heart before you even get there. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of missionaries saying this exact thing. I've heard this dozens of times. There'll be a missionary and they'll go up to talk to somebody. And they'll want to have this conversation about Jesus. And the person is just very, very excited about it for some reason. They're very ready to receive. And they're like, yes, please tell me more about this Jesus. And they're like, okay, like what in the world? Like they're very excited about it. And they say, please tell me more about Jesus. Last night I had a dream and there was this man, it looks like an angel. And he said, his name is Jesus. And he told me to come to this place and that I would talk to somebody about him today. So please tell me everything that you know. The missionary has no idea when they go up to that person that the Spirit of God has been working on their heart already. That Jesus has already appeared to that person. But if they don't go up to him, come on, then what happens? Nothing. All you have to do is obey. You don't have to know before you go. That's how I put it. You don't got to know before you go. So just go and obey and do what God asks us to do. Let me tell you, you don't know who shared Jesus with them before already. You don't know if they've been to church before, if they've never been to church before. You don't know what prayers have been prayed over this person by their parents and by their family members that are begging that God would show up to them in a powerful way. You might be the answer to that prayer that day. You have no idea. But if God tells you to go, man, we gotta go. And I encourage you, you don't have to know before you go. You have no idea where this person is at in their spiritual journey, but you don't need to know. Our job is just to obey God, to speak when he says to speak, to go where he says to go. And sometimes I think Christians, we get caught asking the question why a whole lot. And we're, it's like, what a great question to ask the creator of all things, right? Like, why? And he's like, what? Why are you asking me that? We ask, Philip could ask, why do I need to go down to this road? If you know where that road is, it's in the desert. There's nobody there. That road goes all the way down to Africa. There was nothing there. It's a desert road. He could have easily asked the angel of the Lord that appeared to him. He could have been like, really? That road? Why? We've been seeing a whole lot of great things happening up here in Jerusalem. Why would I go all the way south? That doesn't really make sense. There's not going to be hardly any people there that I could talk to about Jesus. And he could have asked why. But then when he got there, the Holy Spirit obviously told him to go stand by that chariot. And he could have been like, that one, why? Like, why would I go just stand next to the chariot? That's kind of weird. Like, I don't want to creep this guy out. You know what I mean? That's a little odd. For us, we would say, why do I need to talk to this person? You get in that moment where you feel like that God is leading you to do something or say something. And you really, what we're doing when we don't approach that person is because we're asking God, why? Why? Are you sure? Do I really need to do this? And I think God answers us sometimes with the loving phrase that we hear all of our parents say when we were young, because I said so, that's why, right? Sometimes God just wants us to listen and obey. My wife says that to my son a whole lot, okay? He'll be doing something wrong, be doing something that she didn't ask him to do. She'll say, Oakland, listen and obey. Listen and obey. And sometimes I feel like even as adults, God speaks to us in that way. He says, listen and obey. Do what I've asked you to do. Let's move on. Verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now, you might not have verse 37 in your translation here. I don't want to get into the textual criticism and all this kind of stuff. It gets super deep into theology. I actually really like having verse 37 in here. I believe it's original. Not everybody does. But it says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Philip gets to lead this man to Jesus. This is not always how your conversations with people will end up when you talk to them about Jesus, right? Wouldn't it be amazing if every single time you told somebody about your faith and told somebody about Jesus, they just like started crying, you know? And they're just like sobbing like big crocodile tears. They're like, I just, you know, I've been in a bad place and I just need God and I repent. Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, and they just like give their life to Jesus right there on the spot. And you're like, what? This is awesome. You know, every single time, if that was the case, that would be so amazing, wouldn't it? But that's not how it happens. Sharing your faith, I'd put it like this. It's a lot like batting in baseball, okay? A good batting average would be 300. A good one. If you bat 350, 400, you're doing amazing. That means 3 or 4 out of 10 times you get up to bat, you get a hit. These are professional athletes that we're talking about here. The best of the best of the best still strike out. The best basketball players in the world still shoot an air ball every once in a while, right? The best golfers in the world, Tiger Woods has shanked one into the woods before. You know what I mean? Like, we've all messed up, the best of the best of the best. And so if this is your average, 300, that means you could strike out or get out 7 times out of 10 and still be considered good. This is what I think. A lot of times I think we let the 7 stop us from getting the 3. Because we miss on the 7, because we strike out on the 7, it discourages us from hitting again and trying again and getting the 3. And we cannot do that as Christ followers. What happens is people get discouraged because they think that they've failed. But in reality, here it is. You've done exactly what God asked you to do. You took a swing. You took a swing. Just get up to the batter's box and take a swing. And a lot of times, I'll put it like this, what you think is a strikeout, what you think is you failing, was actually a base hit. Now hear me out, okay? You might not take them all the way around the bases. This is what we wanna do, right? We wanna say, I'm gonna hit a home run, and then this person is gonna go from not knowing anything about Jesus all the way around to home plate of knowing Jesus, and they're gonna give their life to him in this one conversation. Think about that for a second, right? That's not always how it works. You might get a hit and get that person to first base. Let me put it to you this way. You might be the first person to plant the seed of Jesus Christ in their life. Maybe no one has ever talked to them about Jesus before. You wouldn't know that when you go up to them. But you might be the first person to plant the seed. So if they don't give their life to Jesus that day, do not be discouraged. Let me encourage somebody. Do not be discouraged if it doesn't end up with them giving their life to Jesus on the first conversation, on the first prayer that you pray. Man, don't be discouraged, because here's the deal. You might be getting up to bat and somebody else has already actually hit the first ball and this person's on first base now. And now you're coming up to bat and you're seeing them there at first and now you get a double and now they're over at third. And then Philip shows up. Come on now. Philip shows up. And he sees this guy's on third base already. He's already asking the right questions. He's already worshiping the God of Israel. But he just needs a little bit more help. Philip gets up to bat. All he needs is a base hit. Philip doesn't even need to hit it out of the park. He just gets a base hit and gets to walk him right home. Does this make sense to you guys? You might be the one that plants the seed. You might be the one that waters the seed. You might be the one that gets the joy of reaping the harvest when somebody comes to Jesus. You might never know what job you did that day, but you can be confident that when you take a swing, you've done the right job. And I want you to consider another person in this story that may or may not exist. All right? It's the person that told the eunuch about the God of Israel. Maybe Jesus showed up to him. I don't know. We've heard stories of that. Or maybe somehow somebody told him about the God of Israel, about Yahweh. This person obviously didn't have information about Jesus. They didn't have all of the right words to say. But somebody told this man about the God of the Jews. He got him to first base. But he didn't get to see the fulfillment of him going all the way home. But Philip was able to get that RBI. Come on, somebody, and bring him all the way around the bases. Amen. Let's move on to verse 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Where does Philip go, right? Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled around preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So he is baptized right there in that moment. And this is an incredible story. Philip just gets literally transported away. We don't know exactly what that looks like, how that happened, but it's incredible, all right? Church tradition. Here's the thing. We can have somebody come up. We're going to close here in just a moment. This is the best part of the story. If you have not been listening, I want you to lean in right now. This is incredible. Watch this. Church tradition, the early church fathers, they write about this Ethiopian eunuch and what happened after this experience. It's not in your Bible, but it's in early church history. And tradition says that after this experience, the Ethiopian eunuch goes back to his homeland and preaches the gospel everywhere he goes in Ethiopia. Now you have to remember, who is this man? He's an important official, the Word of God says. In the government, he has influence. He might have directly influenced the queen herself to believe in Jesus. We don't know. He might have influenced the other government officials and his co-workers at his job. Come on now, to believe in Jesus. And I firmly believe he was going town to town, and just like Philip and just like the other apostles, was going from place to place preaching about Jesus and talking about Jesus everywhere that he went. Now, about 300 years later, 313 AD, Constantine legalizes Christianity as the state religion across the Roman Empire. It is the first to ever legalize Christianity in a country, in a state, in an empire. It's the first nation to ever do it. You know what the second nation ever to legalize Christianity as the state religion was? Ethiopia. 20 years after that. 333 AD. About 300 years after Jesus was killed, Christianity becomes the national religion in Ethiopia. And the early church fathers directly give the credit to this Ethiopian eunuch. Even though much of Africa and the Middle East today is primarily influenced by Islam, Ethiopia is still primarily a Christian nation. Over 60% of the people that live there are actively professing their faith in Jesus Christ to this day. This does not happen without somebody running up to a chariot. Come on now. It doesn't happen without somebody that is willing to meet somebody new. It doesn't happen without a Spirit-filled Christian that has the boldness of the Holy Spirit in them and through them, flowing through them, to see this man the way that Jesus sees him. And to go up and to just start a conversation and just say, hey, what you reading? It doesn't have to be some specific word. It doesn't have to be anything, man. All it is just seeing somebody the way that God sees them, being willing to start a conversation, maybe when other people aren't willing, to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and where he's leading you, to go where he says to go, to say what he says to say. And man, if you don't know what to say, just share how Jesus changed your life, you know? The Word of God says that there's power in the blood of the Lamb and the Word in your testimony. Man, if you don't know how to lead somebody in all the exact things of the Bible verses on, you know, presenting the gospel the right, just share how Jesus did something in your life. And hey, I believe he could do something in your life too. You don't have to have every single word perfectly down, man. We let that stop us. We let that stop God from using us. And I'm just so tired of it, man. God will give you the words when you get there. Just obey him when he says to go. this entire nation of Ethiopia changed forever because of one dude. But where did it start? It was because Philip listened. Philip went. He obeyed. He shared the good news of Jesus. And then this man goes back, changes an entire nation to this day. Still predominantly a Christian nation, even with all the nations around them being radicalized by Islam. It's incredible. And so my question for you then is, what could God do through you, right? If one man can go back to his homeland and change a nation, do you think that you in this place could go back home and change a family or change a city or change a workplace, right? What could God do through you, and what could he do through me? What could we do collectively together? Come on now, in our city, in Hayes County and beyond. I mean, God wants to bring hope to the hopeless, amen? He wants to bring life to those who are dead in their sin. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to break addictions. He wants to restore families and just reveal this radical love that we believe he has for us to this lost and broken world. And he wants to use you and he wants to use me to do it. It's an incredible privilege that we have. So the question is really just, are you listening? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? And are you listening to the people around you, to the needs that they have? Are you obeying when you hear? Are you going? Are you speaking? There's some of you that have been praying for somebody in your life for a really long time. And I just want to encourage you to keep praying. I want to encourage you to keep praying. Because maybe God, it might not be you that he sends, but you keep praying and he might send a Philip to run up to their car one day. He might send a Philip. You could be that Philip for a mom and a dad that's praying for their kids. It's incredible when you really think about it. Would you stand in this place today? You know, I just feel like maybe there's somebody here today that you're in this room because of a Philip. You're in this room because somebody prayed for you. And this is your maybe first time in church in a long time. I don't really know what your story is, but I just want to ask, maybe today's the day, right, that you give your life to Jesus. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Man, the Bible says we're all sinners, guys. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have things that we've done. We've all messed up. We've all dishonored God by the way that we've lived. But man, you're here for a reason. The same way that Philip was there for a reason, the Ethiopian eunuch was there for a reason that day. This is a divine appointment, I believe, for somebody in this place. And it's time for you to say yes to Jesus. Maybe to rededicate your life to him or to give your life to him for the very first time. And if that's you, and I just want you to raise your hand and look up at me real quick, and then you can put it right back down. If that's you, on count of three, one, two, three, if that's you, and you want to give your life to Jesus today, come on, I see you right here. Anybody else, you want to give your life to God? I see you, ma'am, absolutely. Anybody else today, you want to say yes to Jesus? Man, you're here for a reason. I'm so glad you're here. God loves you so much. Amazing. Couple people saying yes to Jesus. That's so good. That's so good. Hey, let me pray for each and every one of you that we would be bold for Jesus as we go out of this place. God, I thank you that you're moving, that you're speaking, that your spirit is here. God, would you help us to listen and obey, to share our faith boldly, to be filled and empowered by the Spirit of God. For those that are giving their life to you for the first time, would you encourage them the same way that the Ethiopian eunuch gave his life to Jesus, got baptized, and then went home. And man, he was on fire for you, Jesus, sharing the word of God everywhere he went. God, would you help them to do the same? Lord, we love you. It's your name we pray. Somebody shout, amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. God is good.